Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the Lord teaches us how to pray. Those of you who have raised children, your children watched you when they were little children, and they learned how to talk from watching you. You didn't teach your two-year-old child grammar lessons. They just listened. They copied you, and they learned how to speak. It's amazing. These little children begin speaking simply by listening to their parents talk. They figure out how to talk and vocalize. Well, today, the Lord wants to teach us how to talk. We are His children. We don't decide what we're going to say to the Lord and just make something up. The Lord says, "When you speak to me, this is how you speak." And He gives us the words of the Lord's Prayer. Now, you noticed in Luke 11 today, this was the shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. The full version of the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew chapter 6, which we read at other times during the church year. So, Jesus obviously taught the Lord's Prayer in many contexts throughout His ministry. And so the prayer that we will pray before we take Holy Communion is the fuller version in Matthew chapter 6. And the doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer is modeled on Solomon's prayer of dedication to the temple. "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." And the Lord's Prayer is an actual prayer that we pray by ourselves, in our family, and here at church. but it's also a whole outline of the whole prayer life. As we see in the Small Catechism, as we're singing in this hymn written by Martin Luther, with the introduction, seven petitions, and the conclusion. This Lord's Prayer, today, billions of Christians around the world are praying this Lord's Prayer. The Lord wants us to know, it's not just the Our Father prayer that we pray as it is, but it's an outline for the whole prayer life. Everything we need to pray for is all included in this outline and prayer. We are given the words to speak back to the Lord what He has spoken to us. We know the Lord's Prayer, and we're about to pray it in a moment. But Jesus gives three illustrations of what it means when we do pray, whether when we pray in the Lord's Prayer or in any of our prayers. And we briefly look at those three descriptions today. When we pray the Lord's Prayer in all of our prayers, first of all, we're supposed to pray for boldness, like asking for bread at midnight. Secondly, we should pray like we're knocking at the door and wanting it to be opened. Thirdly, we're asking for good gifts from our Father in heaven. So as we pray, Jesus wants us, first of all, to ask with boldness, like asking for bread at midnight. Jesus gives us a picture which he probably experienced growing up in the town of Nazareth himself. He says there was a friend at midnight who a traveler, who was one of his friends, comes to his house at midnight. The law of hospitality, he must put this man up for the night and he must feed him, but he has no bread. So while the man traveling is in his house, he goes to his next door neighbor and starts banging on the door at midnight. "Friend, lend me three loaves. I have nothing to feed my guest." And this picture is so true to life. The man inside doesn't even open the door. "Don't bother me. The door is shut. It's midnight." In other words, "Don't you know what time it is? The children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." And then Jesus gives this wonderful picture. He indicates that he won't give him anything because he's his friend. He will give him something because of his impotence, his boldness. "Rise, give him what he needs, so he and his kids can go back to bed." This is a marvelous picture. What does it mean to ask with boldness for bread at midnight? There's a need. It might be midnight or crack of dawn, but we have a request of the Lord. Doing it with impotence means audacity, brazenness, boldness, with chutzpah, saying, "I'm not going to stop until you give me bread. I need it now." We're to call on God in that way, in a sense, to bother God. Whether it's at midnight or the crack of dawn, we say, "Lord, I have a need. I'm going to continue to bother you with boldness because you told me that I can pray to you and I will ask for bread even if it's at midnight." And this is a picture of our prayers. We pray when we get up in the morning, during the day, at night before we go to bed. The Lord wants us to pray to Him with that kind of boldness. And that's how we're called to pray in faith through Jesus' name. The second picture is knocking at a door for it to be open. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Now, if there's anyone that understood this, it was Abraham in the Old Testament lesson today. But he saved Sodom for 50, for 45, for 40, for 30, for 10. He wasn't going to give up. "Everyone who asks," Jesus says, "will receive. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Can you imagine how absurd this picture would be if you needed something from your neighbor and you went over and stood at the front door and you just stood there? You didn't knock on the door. You didn't ring the doorbell. You stood there for like a half hour. And your neighbor comes and looks at you like, well, what are you doing? Well, I've been standing here for a half hour. Well, did you knock? No. Did you ring the doorbell? No. Well, how did you expect me to know that you were standing at the door unless you knocked? This is what the Lord is saying. If you have a need, knock on the door. If you seek something from the Lord, ask Him that you find it. Everyone who knocks, it will be opened. He who seeks will find. He who asks, it will be given to you. Jesus says in other places, you have not because you ask not. The Lord wants us to have a faith that we ask Him for any kind of blessings that we require for ourselves or for our family members, whatever that might be. Ask, seek, and knock to receive, to find, for it to be opened. The first thing we need to recognize if we're going to ask and seek and knock is we're not going to receive the answer because we're good people. We can pray to the Heavenly Father only because Jesus Christ is our mediator. In this amazing description of Jesus in the epistle lesson today in Colossians, Paul says Christ Jesus is the fullness of deity in bodily form. That's what we just confessed in the Nicene Creed. Jesus is fully the Son of God in eternity and also truly the Son of Mary, born with a body. It is this Jesus who has one hand in heaven and one hand on earth. He is the go-between between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The record of our debt was set aside, nailed to the cross, and through Christ's death and His resurrection, the minions of hell have been disarmed and He has triumphed. And He, the true God and true man, by His body and blood, has washed our sins and we are clean. And we are justified and atoned for and are without blemish before God the Father because we are covered in the righteousness of Jesus. That is why the Lord hears our prayers. Not because of the strength of your faith or the lack of your faith or how good of a person you are. You might have a little bit of faith or a lot of faith, but the Lord hears your prayers through Christ. He wants you to have a great faith. But the reason He will enable you to ask and seek and knock is that you are going to Him through the name and the merits of Jesus Christ. You know, conversation with God and in your devotional life, it's really simple to describe, really. It's a two-way conversation. God is speaking to you through His Word, and you're speaking to Him in prayer. So the Father sent His Son, who finished the work of our redemption, was sent into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, who has inspired the writing of the Scriptures, which you're hearing right now. And then you, through your prayers, in the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus, bring your prayers to the Father. And so your devotional life should be each day by word and prayer. Read Scripture and pray. Do both. Because it's a two-way conversation between you and the Lord. And you can ask and seek and knock through the merits of Jesus Christ. And then the third picture is asking for good gifts from our Father in heaven. Jesus is another amazing picture that is something we completely can relate to, those of us who have families. So Jesus poses this. Which of you is a father, if a son asks you for a fish, you will say, no, kid, here's a rattlesnake. Here's a serpent. You would never do that. Your little boy says, Daddy, can I have a boiled egg to eat? No, kid. Here's a scorpion. No father's going to do that. Of course not. Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, because you as a father, if your child asks for a fish, you give him a fish. Ask for an egg, you give him a fish. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The greatest gift of all is the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater than having the Holy Spirit. So whatever needs that we have, we bring to the Heavenly Father and say, Lord, give us the Holy Spirit in abundance. By the way, that's what Paul meant this morning when he says that baptism replaces circumcision. The putting off of the body of the sinful flesh happens not in the old circumcision, but in the new circumcision, which is baptism. We have died with Christ, we are buried with Christ, we are raised with Christ. The powerful working of the Holy Spirit, we used to be dead in trespasses and sin, but now we are alive in Christ. We can ask the Father for good gifts, and especially for the Holy Spirit. Now, the frustrating thing about your prayer life, as you all know, all of our prayers, we are bold in our requests, but always ask that not my will, but your will be done. So when you pray, you're going to receive three different answers. It's either going to be yes, or no, or not yet. It might be that what you've requested is the Lord's will for you, and the answer is yes. It might be that in a situation, the answer is no. When he closes one door, he's going to open another. The other answer might be not yet. But either way, whether his answer is yes or no or not yet, his good and gracious will always do what is best for you. Cling to that assurance that he does hear your prayers and his gracious will be done. So my friends, in conclusion, God speaks to us in his word. The gifts of forgiveness of sins, life and salvation continually come to us in preaching and baptism and absolution and Holy Communion, these means of grace. But then we speak to him with our prayer, our praises, our supplications, and our thanksgiving before the throne of grace as individuals and as a congregation. When you get home, take out your catechism and review the introduction, seven petitions, and conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which we're singing in this hymn, which is a pattern for a simple prayer, but also an outline for the whole prayer life. So let us continue to pray by ourselves, at home, with one another. Be fervent in receiving the word and the divine service, and fervent in bringing your prayers before him, continuing to do this till our Lord Jesus Christ returns. For he has taught us how to speak, how to pray. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace that surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now let us turn